Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking Islam with our good friend, and I hope I don't flatter myself by saying that, William Albrecht. We're going to take a quick break from that for a minute because we've been, for the last, 6 months maybe, we've been, maybe even more than that. It might be a whole year we've been doing this now, introducing you to influencers, young influencers in general. Although if you're an old influencer, if you are, you probably don't want to be called old, but you probably are old, so just deal with it. If you're an old influencer, get in touch with us. We like old influencers too, but it just turns out that most of the people that know how to use TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and X and whatever the next thing Twitter will be called is, they're young. And so we've got one from Franco, the Franco TV on Instagram. Franco, thank you very much for coming in here with us.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this.
Just general ballpark. You don't have to give me an exact number. General ballpark. How old are you?
I am 23.
That's very specific. I was trying to let. Okay, so 23 years old.
I'm about to turn 24, though.
And you've been invited to the Vatican.
Well, yes.
And I mean, accepted the invitation. And you went to the Vatican.
Yes, yes.
I am 61 years old. Nobody. Nobody. Has ever picked up the phone and said, you know where we'd like you to be is in the Vatican. So tell me about how that happened.
Okay, well, this wasn't a simple thing of just like, it's like they targeted me specifically. Like it was like they sent it out to a good amount of influencers or, you know, I don't even like using the term influencer that much, but other Catholic content creators online.
Okay.
And yeah, so due to some connections that were made, largely one, my good friend Iron Inquisitor, he actually got me hooked up to this contact.
Well, he's one of the people that we've had in this little segment that we're doing.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. So he's responsible for hooking me up with that. But anyways, yeah, no, that's we got a pretty much a letter from like a official like letter from Monsignor Lucio
in the Vatican,
who's
City
the
State.
Secretary of the Dicastery of Communications from the Vatican.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was familiar with all of our. I mean, he probably. I don't know. I mean, he. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, what they know, but yeah.
Well, they know enough to invite you and not invite me. So clearly they know who's important in Catholic media. So
there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us.
Yes, there are. There are. And so you went in July. You went. So tell me what the event was that you were attending.
It was called the Jubilee of Catholic Influencers and Digital Missionaries.
Wonderful.
Yes. Okay. And it was a very beautiful program. There wasn't much time to do a lot of collaboration. It was more, and I actually appreciated this a lot. It was a lot of formation like stuff.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It was a lot of like a lot of the talks and speakers. It was a lot of good stuff that I think was good for forming a lot of the minds that were there. It was like over 50 countries of different kinds of influencers.
And how many people do you think that would be that were actual influencers that were there? Do you think it was?
I mean, at the actual like sessions and breakout rooms, like yeah, they were all pretty much like content creators. Like,
yeah, but how many of them were there? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh.
Like
maybe like 1,000?
Really? So they got that's wonderful. They got 1,000 mostly young
people.
Don't
quote me on that. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a lot. It was like a lot. It was packed.
Actually going to quote you on that.
Okay.
So that's now a famous quote of the Franco TV. 1,000.
Misinformation.
Okay. So were they all generally under 30 or?
A lot of them were young. Yeah. Like the most of them, I think I would argue, were pretty young.
Yeah.
But there was a mixed crowd though.
There was.
Yeah.
Were there people as old as me, like really old people? Or
really? Hey, you're not really old. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're
you got
this.
Your hair looks
you're,
great.
You're very. I have my hair. Thank you.
Look at that beautiful hair.
I am young. Wow. I have my hair.
You got your testosterone boosting with the beard. I don't have that. See?
All right, I see why you're popular. 120,000 subscribers.
No, on Instagram. Followers on Instagram.
100 followers on Instagram. Yeah. Okay.
YouTube, I'm still struggling.
And what kind of stuff do you create on Instagram?
It's a lot of it's definitely short form content. So okay. I wanted to maximize just a lot of summarizing a bunch of different types of information because I think there's like a really powerful way to be able to plant a lot of seeds in a more rapid way and to reach a lot more people in a faster way with short form content. And so I essentially do a lot of, well, Catholic content creation. This might sound kind of vague, but I try to tap into the culture a good amount and yes. mix the intellect with the art aspect of the faith. So I do, and I actually don't think you can separate them much unless you want to call something that's bad art.
Do you know what people say about you?
No.
I'm going to tell you what people say about you behind your back.
Uh-oh.
They say you are a freakishly talented person, that you have a gift for this.
Like, thank you. I appreciate that.
Congratulations for using that gift for the kingdom of God. But that is really what people say. And so how'd you get into it, though? How'd you go, I've got the, like, it must include things like editing, writing, producing, re-editing, all that. How did you get these skills together and do this?
Well, I appreciate the compliments. I'm very humble to I'm all for the glory of God. I developed a lot of my skill sets via being a huge introvert in high school.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I just watched a lot of
anime. That does not compute at all, Franco. That does not compute at all. But you were. You were a big introvert.
Yeah, a big introvert. I binged a lot of movies, binged a lot of anime, some I regret. but I was, while a lot of my classmates and stuff were, you know, doing cool stuff, sports and all this stuff, I was binging a lot of things in a lot of movies in my room. Didn't really hang out with much people. Although I enjoyed people's company, I did hang out somewhat, right? But I really wanted to get into YouTube, so I learned how to video edit. The freaking video capture game device card wouldn't work. And so I was like, I can't capture my gameplay. So I'm like, all right, like, I'll just first learn how to edit and then learn how to capture the stuff, right? But so I learned how to edit, and I actually ended up making anime music videos.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, which some people are like, are you kidding me right now? Like, yes, that's how I started. Like, my first edit was just like me grabbing like Goku turning Super Saiyan and just putting some—
That
like,
was you?
Some, that was me. I'm that, just no kidding. One knows. No one knows this.
No, but you know what? As I hear you talking about it, it does seem to me that part of what is in the mix for you is you wanted to make art. Like, you have a thing where to make an anime music video. This is some— there's a reason for that. Something in you wants to make art.
Well, I was music, it was a huge captivation of mine. I wanted to start making it. After I started doing video editing, I started doing a lot of dancing. Although I've dropped that for a bit now, but I'm going to be getting back into that soon. So for music, I learned how to make everything from scratch. I mean, all was producing on the laptop. Then to just trying to find how to do auto-tune, because I'm not the greatest singer. I didn't grow up in a singing kind of trained household. And then I also, of course, learned a bunch of cinematography and video editing. That was all predominantly in high school because I just was a huge nerd. So a lot of that I just picked up at a very early point in my life. And of course, the writing aspect with what I do with my videos, I mean, that all just came with just me just wanting to— I mean, I think maybe music kind of maybe helped a little bit with that, but it was all just wanting to really be as, just descriptive and persuasive and et cetera as much as I possibly could. So that's kind of how I developed a bunch of that stuff, but I would really just owe it up to practice, I think, a lot of it. I mean, given, sure, I think there can be maybe God-given gifts, but a lot of it was practice, I would say.
So how do you know when it's done?
That's a really great question. I think it's at the point where I think the original goal is solidified.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm like, okay, anything else that's like filler or buffer, it doesn't need to— if it's not necessary.
So it's a lot of subtraction.
There is a lot of subtraction. There's a art of simplicity.
There is. And you do, and I'll be frank with you, you do sound like an artist. You sound like someone who has the instincts of an artist. And I'm so grateful that you're putting them to use in the digital realm for the glory of God. I want people to visit you, TheFrancoTV on Instagram, 120,000 followers. Let's get that up to 200,000 by the end of the day. TheFrancoTV, because I think that you you have a voice, and it's exciting. It's exciting what you're doing. So God bless you in your pursuits.
Thank you. Please pray for me.
All right. Well, we will. And pray for us. Thank you. And will you, is there anywhere else I should send people, or just send them to TheFrancoTV?
I'm going to start doing more long form on my YouTube. My friend Evan Rogest and also Iron Inquisitor have been telling me, like, you got to get on the YouTube long form. So I'm like, all right. Gonna get on it. And so, getting back onto the YouTube long form. So, I'm on the same handle on the Franco TV is the same handle on all social media platforms. So, just you can find me in all those.
Franco, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, next time you're in the Vatican, mention my name, will you?
Of course.
I'd like one invitation to go to the Vatican for something. All right, we gotta take a quick break. We'll come back. We're gonna talk about Islam. Thanks for those who waited on the line. We'll talk more about Islam with William Albrecht right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Jim Pinto, director of EWTN Media Missionaries. Mother Angelica said, "The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you." You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. William, thanks for letting us take a break to meet another of these brilliant young creators that are out there. Have you ever seen Franco TV? Or are you going to watch it now?
I have not, but I will now. I will now that you're telling me about it.
Yeah, they can do things, man. It feels to someone my age like, were they just born able to do this? But like he said, it's their atmosphere. It's their natural environment.
I heard you talking about music. Is he a singer?
Yeah, he tried singing and dance, but he. Cool. I think he's more of a producer. I think he's finding that. I wish you'd get him in touch with Marcus Peter. I don't know if you've ever been on Marcus Peter's show. He comes on before us. He's a break dancer and a performer and a rapper. We should get them together. Maybe we'll put together like a Catholic dance crew. That'll be the next thing.
Cool.
I don't know.
That'd be great.
Can you dance, William?
Oh, not at all.
Me neither.
No, not at all, man.
No, I'm the organizer here. I'm the idea man. But all right, let's go back to the phones. We'll talk about Islam, that's what we're talking about, Islam. And I am very grateful to the callers. You were gracious to stay on the line while we talked to Franco from The Franco TV. And we're glad you waited and that you're here. Caleb's in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hello, Caleb. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to preface this by saying this does not come from a place of hate. This comes from a place of practicality and realism. Okay. But I'm hearing a lot of talk about we need to evangelize the Muslims and, you know, convert them. But when we're talking about stuff like that, we need to keep in mind that the average IQ of the Muslim countries is 80. I'm going to say that again. It's 80. And so this idea that if we just present the most educated arguments to these people and they're going to see the error of their ways and convert, it's just not realistic. Now, you can point to individual Muslims. This Muslim here converted, this Muslim here converted upon hearing the argument. But again, we're talking about the group as a whole, right? And a religion like Christianity, which is all about denying your base carnal instincts, is not going to be attractive to a low IQ people who were promised 72 virgins in the afterlife or who belong to a religion that rationalizes away why it's okay to have pedophilic relations with little girls. So we just need to keep that top of mind. So thank you for considering that.
Well, hang on, Caleb. Let's get a response from William.
Yeah, well, Caleb, let me be very clear that I think the one thing that you're failing to realize is Islam is growing in the U.S., my friend. It is growing. And you're talking about Islamic countries. Well, when we talk about evangelizing Muslims, primarily we got to remember the gospel is for all people, brother, not only the educated. Not only the educated, and the church has always taught from the very beginning, every person, regardless of their education, their language, or culture, They're all deserving of our Lord's grace. That is the primary important thing to know, Caleb. And even if we take for granted that maybe a lot of them are uneducated, here in the U.S., Hispanic people are converting to Islam at an alarming rate. People are becoming Muslim here in the U.S., in well-developed countries as well. So with that in mind, we have got to evangelize everyone out there. And to also remember, faith is not only for the intellectual. That is a very important thing. You've got to also reach out to those that maybe they're not as well off as people in the Western world, but it doesn't matter. We've got to evangelize all and reach out to all, because everyone truly does matter. And here's another wonderful thing to know. Even though there are hardships, and we think about countries where people are poverty-stricken and struggling, a lot of those people over there are coming to the Lord. A lot of them are. And I know that because a lot of people, I'm very good friends with people that are, you know, have family over there in the Middle East and other areas. And there are many that are converting to Christ. And remember that our goal is to witness. The Catholic Church has always said that. And we need to remember Paul's words that he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Well, to be very clear, Paul didn't stop and say, well, there's a lot of people out here that are ignorant and can't even read and have a low IQ. There were a lot of people within the very band of the followers of our Lord that couldn't read. But it didn't matter. You've got to preach the gospel to everyone, my friend.
Is that convincing to you, Caleb?
Well, yeah, I totally agree that the gospel is for everyone and we got to preach it. But it seems like you're saying this is like a reasonable goal, that we can convert all the Muslims. Maybe I misunderstood that.
Never said that. No, I never said that. It definitely is a reasonable desire to want everyone to follow Jesus and everyone to come to the fullness. And even though we realize not everyone will, we've got to do our very best to try to bring as many as we can by the grace of the Holy Spirit, because it's all with the Holy Spirit working. Remember, the Lord does not need us. We need the Lord, and may the Lord use us for his glory. With that in mind, we do desire to help as many as we can.
Caleb, thank you for the call and for the question. I have to say, William, our general policy here at Catholic Answers is we do what Jesus told us. It's up to him whether it succeeds or not. If he said, go and make disciples of all the nation, we just do what he told us. He didn't say, here's your percentage chances on succeeding. He never gave us that.
100%.
Joe is in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening on 93.1 FM. Joe, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the question. Now, I'm going to try to get this question out, but I've read and we've had discussions in my peer group about how Islam was created by a Christian sect that wanted control over a trade route, the trade routes in the Middle East that was being controlled by the Jewish people. And they couldn't get a stronghold, so they created Islam, and it was a militant sect of Christianity, and they wiped out the Jews that were in control of that trade route. And that's the origin of Islam.
William?
So I wanted to know anything like that,
yeah,
or have any insight on that kind of.
Yeah, number one, let me tell you, thank you for that. But no, in terms of Catholicism creating Islam in order to control any kind of Arabian trade routes, that is a big-time conspiracy theory. There is no primary evidence for that at all. And remember, we've got a lot of writings right around the time, actually right at the time that Islam began. We have tons of writings. There does not exist any papal writing, any council, any father writing, nothing from the 7th century that is ever mentioning using Muhammad as a tool. And remember that if Islam was a Catholic project, there'd be one document. There would be one, at least. There's nothing out there. What I do want to recommend for you, Brother Joe, right?
Yeah, this
Brother
is Joe. Yeah, this is Joe. Yep.
Joe, I want to recommend for you, and you can find it on Catholic.com. In Google, put Meet Jack Chick. Jimmy Akin didn't do a good job. He did a phenomenal job refuting these lies. This comes from Jack Chick, He invented that lie a long time ago. And I remember back in 2004 when Jimmy Akin came out and refuted that lie. He did an incredible job. And I was Googling to try and find that article. Sure enough, man, you guys, the Catholic Answers are phenomenal. It has been preserved on Catholic.com. Put Meet Jack Chick in Google. You're going to find the article that Jimmy Akin did. It is a little bit of a lengthy one, but very well worth going through. That is a lie created by a man by the name of Jack Chick that hated the Catholic Church.
Okay, Joe?
Okay, all right. I'll check it out. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much. One thing I don't know very much about that, but Jack Chick certainly hated the Catholic Church. I think we could establish that.
Yeah. Yep.
But what I have to say, I do very much appreciate Joe's call because, like, we always try to say, you don't have to agree with us. You don't have to think like we think, but we'll give you whatever the best answer we've got if you've if you'll call and have the conversation with us. So, Joe, thank you very much for the call. Chris is in San Angelo, Texas, listening on 91.5 FM. Glad to have you here, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, yes. I wanted to first comment and agree with you about Mary. Mary in Islam, apparently, if I'm correct, and you can probably correct me on this, she had Jesus in the desert under a tree. That was right. Their story and their take on Jesus. Okay. But the question I wanted to ask you is Islam's stance by claiming every, you know, prophet, going to Abraham, going to Moses, going to David, then to Jesus, you know, there's this person of the Islam faith, he's called the Mahdi, and he's claiming to be a descendant of Jesus and the true Pope. Do you have a take on this guy? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I've never heard of him. I never have. I can tell you why.
Okay.
I can tell you why Islam has adopted our Lord into their religion. I can tell you that. But in terms of this cult-like figure, I do not know who that is.
All right. Yeah, because he's blown up on TikTok. Mahdi, he's claiming to be the unknown Mahdi or the last one, and that he's, you know, descended from Jesus and descended from Abraham, and he's going on, and I'm like, well, you know, I've never heard of this Mahdi dude. You know,
yeah.
I don't understand where he's coming from on that. But, you know, he talks about Jesus like if he's a Christian. So, you know, I was wondering if you heard anything. You might want to look him up, and then you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But was I correct on Mary?
Yeah, no, you're definitely correct. When talking about Mary, the Quran says that the Quran says that after conceiving Jesus, it tells you very clearly that she withdrew to a remote place. And then, of course, it even goes against Catholic tradition, and it says that during the pains of childbirth, she came to a palm tree in the desert. So, yeah, you got the gist of it correct. Now, in terms of this figure, Mahdi, I don't know who that is, but we've had probably a lot of them that have arisen over time. Well, they'll claim to be a descendant of somebody. They'll claim to have some lineage. Look, my friend, it is good to stick to the Catholic Church and what the Church teaches and to avoid any of that kind of nonsense. But let me tell you one thing. I do know, and I can tell you why, Islam was very meticulous in trying to utilize our Lord. Let me tell you why. The goal in Islam was to present itself as part of the Abrahamic lineage. Remember that part of the claim of Muhammad was that Islam indeed fulfills all of these prophecies. They're being fulfilled, and divine revelation is continuing. So Islam wants to present itself as part of the Abrahamic line. So you've got a kind of chain of transmission. You have Abraham, you have Moses, you have Jesus, and then you have Muhammad, which of course we disagree with. But by adopting Jesus, what Muhammad could do and what he did do was he claimed continuity with ancient Judaism, Christianity, and now this would then give Islam a greater legitimacy. But of course, we know all of that is false. We know that because the Quran is filled with a lot of errors. But that is why they did adopt Jesus.
Chris, I'm going to say thank you and keep going. Lots of folks on the line. We're talking Islam today. William Albrecht, our guest, 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Oklahoma, where John has been waiting patiently. John, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, how you doing? Now, and I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but I've heard this online to where basically Muhammad, you know, in his preaching and pretty much in the last breath that he took, basically called himself out as being a false prophet, because in his teachings when he was alive, before he was poisoned, he said you would know the false prophet because they would have their aorta ripped out. Now, as he was lying there, as he was poisoned, he was asked, I believe, by his wife, what does it feel like? He goes, it feels like my aorta is being ripped out.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, you're correct. You're 100% correct. Now, you are referring to Sahih Bukhari. Now, let me fill the audience in with a little bit of information, because it doesn't help to only quote Sahih Bukhari. You've got to look at the Quran, and the Quran itself records in Quran 69:44, and we'll get to it on the other side of the break.
I'm sorry to do that to you, but if you can hang on, John, we'll take a very quick break and we'll get a complete answer for you about what happened when Muhammad was dying. We're talking Islam with William Albrecht. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Steve Dawson, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carlo Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they are allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
All right, the question we've got before us, we're talking Islam, by the way, and we still have time to take your call. There's a new call right there, but we have time to take your call, 888-318-7884. We're talking Islam from a Catholic perspective. If you've got questions about Islam, if you've got questions about other relationship between Catholicism and Islam, what do Catholics think of Muslims? What do Muslims think of Catholics? Whatever, whoever you are, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Muslim or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. And here's what John in Oklahoma was asking about, was did Muhammad, in a kind of poetic way, show that he was a false prophet as he was dying?
Yeah, I really like that one. I'm glad that he brought that up. And let me lay out what he really means for the audience. In the Quran, we read that Allah says that if Muhammad had falsified teachings, if he had lied, that we would cut his aorta. Now, that isn't the Quran. And then in Sahih Bukhari, we actually have it recorded. Oh, Aisha, and this is reported, this is hadith where Muhammad is saying this. Oh, Aisha, I still feel the pain caused by the food I ate at Kabar. I don't know how to pronounce that. And now I feel as if my aorta is being cut from that poison. So most definitely we have an issue here that if the Quran reports that and if Muhammad admits that he was dying like a false prophet would die, well, then there's an issue there. And I've heard Islamic scholars try and deal with it. I've never heard a good reply. I never have.
I have never heard that one, John. Thank you very much, John, from Oklahoma, for that. I'm fascinated by so many of the questions that I see coming up. So on we go with the phones. Buck is in Downers Grove, Illinois, listening on the Ave Maria app. Glad to have you here, Buck. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on. The big question I have with Islam and Muslims is, so Christianity, Islam, we all believe God created the world, right? We believe God created man and woman. Then how can Islam or Muslims justify killing, you know, infidels and raping? And why would God, the creator, want to do that to something that he created? Why would he want to destroy what he created? I can't get my head around how they can justify that that's okay.
Yeah. Well, we definitely don't agree with the justification of that. And we don't agree with the Quran justifying that either, which is why we are here and we are evangelizing. We're trying to call people within the Islamic worldview to the fullness because we know that it's very wrong, but we need to be very careful as well. And note that there are a lot of texts that justify fighting, and they do justify terminating infidels, and that is in their holy book. And many Catholic theologians had pointed out that that was an issue. One of them being the phenomenal Saint Juan de Rivera pointed out that that was something that was promoted and something that the Catholic Church has always condemned. So unfortunately, there's no answer that is clear to be able to say that there's anything positive in this. It's completely wrong. We should condemn the idea of murdering, and we should condemn the idea of warfare. Now, in terms of just war, the Catholic Church has always affirmed you are allowed to defend yourself. But in the sense of people that are viewed as enemies and people that are viewed as enemies of a particular religion, to actually go after them in the sense that it seems like they are promoting, we definitely frown down upon that. And the Church has never, ever said that that is acceptable. In fact, the Church teaches that to kill, and this is in the Catechism, to kill a non-combatant is in and of itself intrinsically evil. And the Catholic Church has always emphasized the sanctity of life from beginning to end. And we take that directly from our Lord's words to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We're told that in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5.
What do you think, Buck?
But then how can Islam justify it in their minds? I don't understand how they can think that's okay.
Well, remember that if they are raised and if their holy book, which we do not believe to be a holy book, teaches that, and if their hadiths teach that, well, then they are going to be hardwired to think that that is okay under circumstances. And we disagree with that. Remember, that is what many of them are taught from a very young age. That is all that a lot of them know. They don't know any better. With that in mind, that is why we're here doing shows like this, to let them know that the message of the gospel is the message our Lord truly did put forth, that we need to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute you, but we've got to evangelize and let them know they are wrong, that the Quran is not a holy book. They need to turn to the Holy Bible. They need to come to the fullness of the faith that is only found in Catholicism. Now, I know it is baffling to you, but remember, a lot of these people do not know better, and they believe that book to be a holy book.
William, I am sorry, but I'm going to interject something here that I know people do not want to hear. But my fellow American Catholics, many, many of my fellow American Catholics this month, because it happens every August, said the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki is justified. We had to kill those women and children. So I understand Buck's being baffled about Muslims.
Yep.
But where are the Christians who are consistent and say, you may never directly attack innocent women, children, men, non-combatants. So, yep. Buck, I'm sorry. It's just a little. The irony is a little too thick in the month of August, where yep. we blew up two cities, knowing that it would incinerate women and children, and we yep. still to this day say we were justified in doing it. The war would have gone on. Well, I'll tell you what. There's one moral law. There's not two moral laws, and that moral law says you cannot kill innocent people. And if we're baffled by the Muslims, we should be baffled by ourselves as well, especially in the month of August.
Sydney, and the catechism clearly says that the church condemns killing non-combatants. It is intrinsically evil. You're right.
Right. Buck, I thank you very much. I share your bafflement, but I think it needs to be spread around to everybody. Sydney in South Bend, Indiana, listening on Ave Maria Radio. God bless you, Cindy. Thank you. Sydney, excuse me. Thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Thanks, Cy and William. So I'm a very avid listener to Catholic Answers and good. Also to The Journey Home. I absolutely love the ministry of Catholic Answers because you just make yourselves available to people, and you have all these programs about bring it on, you know, ask us any question you want to. But I hear very, very few Muslim callers.
Yeah, that's true.
Very few. And that concerns me. And so while I was kind of listening to this whole thing, I actually went on my computer and I looked up this episode that you had with Carla Broussard and Jimmy Akin. You had a caller from Turkey who was asking.
Oh, I remember it well, Sydney.
You remember it. Okay.
Very well.
So he was saying that he was, I mean, literally probably in danger of his life.
That's what he said.
To become a Christian. And I want to hear what William has to say about that, because I think that becoming a convert from Islam to Christianity requires a degree of courage that we don't even, because I listen to Protestant converts all the time, and many of them are maybe ostracized by their family and so forth. That's not easy, but they're not
going to be killed by their family. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's exactly what this man in Turkey was concerned about. He knew
yes.
that the Catholic faith yes. was true, but he was raised a Muslim. He lived in a completely Muslim town, and he feared for his life if he was public about becoming Catholic.
Yeah, and that really, great that you bring that up. That really is a big problem, and we need to realize that in many of these Muslim-majority societies, leaving Islam is not as easy as leaving it in the USA. If you live in California, you leave Islam, you can become Catholic. Okay. You know, it'd be very different if you are in a Muslim-majority society, because a lot of the times, number one, you will lose your friends. There's no doubt about it. The other thing is, you're going to lose your family. But the other problem is, you're running a great risk on your life as well, because in many of these Muslim dominant countries, really they view apostasy as a offense worthy of death. And that is, I did not know that you had a caller talking about that, but it really does fit in with the issue and the hardships that many of them encounter. Really, really many of them leave Islam to follow Christ, and it truly is a great hardship, and they really are putting their lives on the line, and they're doing it for Christ. And, you know, we got to pray for them. It really must be difficult.
Was there more you wanted about that, though, Sydney?
No, thank you. That's a great answer. I just feel like we should be aware of that.
That they
are putting their lives on the line in a way that, yeah, I'm a convert myself, and I've lost some friends because of it, but it's not the same thing. I mean, there's tremendous courage. Anyway,
let me tell you one other thing, Sydney. By the grace of God, the more and more that we do shows like this in Catholic Answers, God willing, we'll get more Muslim people calling in. That would be phenomenal. And I can tell you, I've dialogued with a lot of them that have communicated with me privately, not revealing who they are, not revealing where they are, And by the grace of God, the more and more we do shows on this topic, we'll get more people calling in. Now, we don't only aim to do shows like that here. By the grace of God, if you know anybody, Sydney, that are Hispanic, that are Latino, Latina, and it would help them, by the grace of God, we are even planning on doing shows in Spanish dealing with Islamic issues, because we know that really, really, we need to tackle this head on, and we need to realize it really, really is a threat to the faith, that a lot of people are leaving the Catholic faith. Well, we want them to come back home. And if they've never been home, we want to let them know the beauty of the faith. And in my opinion, no better place than here in Catholic Answers.
Sydney, I'm going to leave it there because I got to take a break. But thank you very much for the call. Lots of folks still on the line. We'll be right back with more questions about Islam on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul's Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
EWTN has just been a godsend for me because I've learned more about my religion since I started listening to EWTN about 5 years ago than I ever found out in school. And I love the Catholic Church. We have one of the biggest, best gifts in the whole world.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. William Albrecht, our guest. And I have to say, I'm very grateful to our callers for two things. Great questions, great conversation. Some of it challenging, but also great patience in waiting for me to get to you on the phone, because we've had some delays today, but we're very grateful for your patience. Henry's in Oregon. Henry, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have a friend who is a firm Society of St. Pius X member, and he is constantly addressing this fact that at Vatican II, we declared that we believe in the same God and therefore that as the Muslims, and therefore that Islam is a Christian heresy. I was wondering if there's any evidence for that I could argue against him with.
I just want to clarify, Nostra Aetate, it doesn't say the second thing. It says the first thing that you said. It doesn't say Islam is a Christian heresy, but it does say that we regard Islam with esteem and we share their monotheistic faith. But was that part something your friend added or?
No, that was something I added.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I just wanted to be clear that the documents of Vatican II do not call Islam a Christian heresy.
Okay,
but take the other part, if you would, William.
Yeah, I can definitely touch upon that. Now, you're definitely correct there, brother. What we have in Vatican II is what we would refer to as a very deeply pastoral tone, meaning that we're looking for what we have in common with Islam. And then we clearly recognize that there are areas where there are central Christian truths that are denied. And we've got to evangelize. There is no doubt about that, because we know that they do not recognize our Lord as fully divine. And we know they deny the Trinity. Now, with that in mind, talking about what you brought up a little while ago, is there any evidence of this being you talked about it being a Christian heresy. There is, without a doubt. And we can get that from St. John Damascene. He literally calls this the heresy of the Ishmaelites, but he puts it under the category of Christian heresies. He knew Muhammad was a real figure. He was a real historical figure, but he called his teaching a deviation from the fullness of Christianity, because it denied Christ's divinity, denied the Trinity, and denies the incarnation. With that in mind, he believed that an Aryan monk had influenced Muhammad. But he isn't the only one. You can find figures like Saint Theophanes and other Byzantine writers. Another one is Anastasius of Sinai. He is another one that treated Islam as a heretical offshoot. So you've got many, many examples of that. And yeah, I tend to agree with that, without a doubt.
Okay, Henry?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Henry. I'm going to go a little bit quick now because so many folks still waiting. Tom is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tom, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you for accepting my call. So I just stumbled across this broadcast, and I hope I'm not repeating a question that's already been asked. But in the Muslim faith or belief system, do they have a mechanism for forgiveness? And that's to say, I know there's more than one type of Muslim, right? There's Shiites and Sunnis and so on.
Right.
But are they encouraged to forgive, or are they just allowed to forgive, or outright not allowed to forgive under certain circumstances?
Yeah. So the one thing that they do not have, and I think you know this very well, they don't have a sacramental system. So with that in mind, they don't have a priesthood, nor do they even believe in one. So within Catholicism, we believe that confession is sacramentally efficacious. Now, where do we get that? We get that from the Bible. The Bible directly from the words of our Lord. Now, it is different within Islam because they do not have that. They do not have a priest, which is an instrument of Christ. That is why they're called, they forgive sins in persona Christi, in confession. They don't believe in that. Within Islam, their mechanism is merely repenting. But what do we mean by repenting? And I'm glad you brought it up. It doesn't matter what group of Muslims you dialogue with. It's important to realize they all have the exact same requirements. Number one, you've got to recognize that you are sinful. You've committed sins. You've committed errors. You have sinned against Allah in their theological worldview. Then the other one is, of course, you feel guilty for having done that. You feel bad, and you need to stop sinning immediately. So along with you feeling a kind of remorse, you have to stop sinning. And then, of course, you need to make the promise to Allah to not repeat that kind of sin. Now I want to add one other qualifier. Not all Islamic traditions, not all of them, but there are certain groups that will then emphasize fasting and doing acts of charity after, although that is not the predominant view. Rather, the predominant view is merely recognizing you've sinned, feel bad about it, and resolve to Allah that you will not commit that sin anymore. And that pretty much is it. That's really it.
Tom, actually, that was not a question we had had before. It was a great question.
Very good.
Was that all clear? A fair enough answer for you?
No. Well, I'm pointing it more towards each other. Are they allowed to forgive other people who they believe sinned against them? Not just their God, but are they allowed to forgive? Like, if I sinned against a Muslim, and they believe that I did, are they allowed to forgive me? Are they allowed to forgive each other? Are they encouraged to forgive each other?
Yeah, they definitely are. Now, they forgiving someone that has wronged them in Islam is actually considered a virtue. So in their worldview. But let me be very clear. If you have wronged them and they believe you've wronged them, they can forgive you, without a doubt. But I think you gather the idea that you know that them forgiving you means that in their heart they forgive you for having wronged them, but they don't believe that they have any power to absolve the sin in God's eyes. They don't believe that. And hey, I got to be honest, we don't believe they do either, because they don't have a priesthood. And they don't believe in the sacrament. So if you forgive somebody personally within Islam, that definitely is part of their mechanism. But again, it's a very, very different system, because that person, in their view, will also believe that the other one has to repent directly to God to be forgiven. So I might say, okay, if you are a Muslim, and you tell me, well, William, I forgive you for having wronged me. Okay, but you're going to then tell me, but you need to repent directly to God. Even though I personally have forgiven you, you've got to repent directly to God now. That is the kind of worldview that they have.
Tom, I'm going to leave it there. I do want to get this question in. It comes from Alabama. Fatima in Alabama, who I believe identified herself as Muslim, said this, was not available to come on the air. What advice would you give to a Muslim who loves Jesus as a prophet, but has been unable to understand Jesus as the Son of God?
That is a great, great one. And I would tell you that, number one, by the way, let me tell you that that our Lord loves you. And our Lord is waiting for you to come to the fullness of the truth. And right there, you already see, okay, you love him as a prophet. But we need to realize, what does the Bible tell you about our Lord? And the Gospels in particular, they present Jesus as fully God and fully man. So let me point out that loving him as a prophet is great, but that is the beginning. You've got to then realize, well, if Jesus was a prophet, what is being prophesied? And what is being fulfilled? Well, if you truly believe that he's a prophet and he said certain things and they came true, what kinds of things did he say? Well, one of the things that he said was, before Abraham was I am, in John 58. That claims preexistence. Another thing that he does is he claims to be the Son of Man, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 7. Well, what kind of a prophet is Jesus then? Well, if he is that figure of Daniel 7, the kind of prophet that he is Almighty God. All the while we recognize that he's a prophet, we need to realize the kind of prophecy he's fulfilling is a prophecy of a divine figure. Let me give you one other, Fatima. By the way, beautiful name. Let me give you one other. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, there is a prophecy about a suffering servant. And our Lord fulfills that prophecy over and over. But who is that man? Well, that suffering servant is not only the Messiah. He is the Messiah that has divine prerogatives that belong to God and God alone. And there are words used for that suffering servant that indicate that he is God. So all the while that you tell me, well, we love him as a prophet. Well, what kind of a prophet? The kind of prophet he is the prophet that points to him being almighty and eternal God.
Fatima, thank you very much for the question. If you'd ever like to talk on the air, we'd be happy to talk with you on the air. Let's go to Davis in Connecticut, listening on our website, catholic.com. Davis, we are a little short of time, so if you could be quick with the question, we can have a conversation. No, Davis, on line six?
Are you in dissent with recent popes who said...
Oh, no. It sounds like a really good question, but we can't hear you, Davis. Davis, you're breaking up. We can't hear you. Give it another try.
Yeah, sorry about that. Do you agree with Pope Francis about the Abrahamic family house, that all religions are equal, that Islam is a religion of peace? I mean, I think if Pope Francis were around today, he would call you an Islamophobe.
Yeah, Pope Francis never said that every single religion is equal. So let me be very clear about that. Number two, I have read what Pope Francis has said about Islam, and he clearly has, that he did in the past, call Islam he called us to evangelize Muslims. So I don't think that you are accurately representing what Pope Francis has said there.
So when Pope Francis told Muslim youths that they should read the Quran and find spiritual benefit in it, you agree with that?
So when Pope Francis talks about reading the Quran to be able to find benefit, he very clearly knows that there are certain elements of the Quran that point to the truth. One of those particular elements, as we pointed to earlier, is the Quran tells you that people can look to the book. They can look to the Gospels to be able to judge. So there are positive elements, even though Muslims do not like to admit it, there are positive elements in the Quran that show that we can trust the Gospel and we can trust the Torah. So with that in mind, I want to be very clear. What Pope Francis did in the past, the late Pope Francis, he reiterated over and over the importance for interfaith dialogue. But in terms of interfaith engagement, he was very explicit that we need to evangelize Muslims. Well, If you've got to evangelize Muslims, that means they don't have the fullness of the faith. And I can tell you right now, before my eyes, I have a long message from Pope Francis on July 10th, 2013, where he says over and over, the church wants to work together with Muslims to bring them to the fullness of the faith.
Thank you very much to everybody who called. I'm sorry there were some we didn't get to. Davis, thank you for your challenging question there at the end. Our guest has been William Albrecht. William, I just have a great time every time you're on. Thanks for doing two whole hard working hours with us today.
I had a phenomenal time, brother. I look forward to being back with you.
You're going to dream about Catholic-Muslim dialogue tonight. You're going to have this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think we'll do it again, though, because especially towards the end, we had lots and lots of full lines. So lots of great, interesting conversation. But that is going to do it for us. Hey, we got the big Catholic Answers Conference coming up. You want to find out about how to come? It's right here in San Diego in September. CatholicAnswersConference.com. See you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.